Oh, well, I guess if you're watching this, I'm speaking to you from the other side. Oh, I've got COVID. Yep, I've got COVID. I've gone down with it, and it is unfortunate not to be with you. It's unfortunate for you not to have a live preacher when there's actually live church going on. But we did make a decision a few weeks back that if the preacher goes down with ISO or with COVID and he's well enough, that we'll actually record the sermon in rather than ask somebody else to tap in at the last moment. And so here we are. My apologies. My voice isn't the greatest. I need to sit down. I'm not feeling that well. You might see me sip a bit of water. I'll try not to clear my throat or wipe my nose too much. But hey, you know, preparing this sermon, it's been one of the highlights of my week. I'm so excited to be stuck into John's gospel at the moment. And so I'm going to pray that we all hear God speak to us in the way that he spoke to me during the week. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you that you are a speaking God, that your word is living and active. And so now come, speak to us, shape us, change us. We want to hear you speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, do you believe God loves you, or do you hesitate to believe God loves you? If I were to push you, would we discover that you know all the right doctrines about God's love, but underneath, in reality, you struggle to believe that God actually loves you? Now, don't worry, I'm not going to ask you the question. I already know the answer. You and I regularly struggle to believe that God loves us. Sure, on paper, we know that God loves us, but in our hearts, we carry guilt, we carry shame. We walk into church and Pointy J and Point Group with the veneer of living by God's grace, but underneath, we live by works, not by grace. Underneath, we think that God expects more from us. We think that God is disappointed in us. Underneath, we think, oh, God just tolerates us. We live under this burden that we need to be better. And that burden makes God's love, his grace, his mercy feel dull. So what would it take to convince us that God loves us? Nicole and I have been married for 25 years now, and when I first met Nicole, I was besotted straight away, but it took a while for Nicole to realize I was interested in her. The penny dropped when I sent flowers to her workplace. Friends, God doesn't send flowers. God sent his son. Here is what God wants you and I to know from today's sermon. God made us. He is love, and he loves us. If you are a Christian, God loves you. Now, as you know from our email this week, I am so pumped to begin John's gospel. I mean, at the moment, our lives are filled with so much uncertainty. They probably will be well into the future. Our lives, our media is filled with so much aggro, both social and mainstream. Our politics is filled with so much aggro. We need to hear our King and our Savior speak. And this is what our King says through John's Gospel, that Jesus is the Son of God, who is God, the God who made us and the God who loves us. 2022 is going to be great as we begin in John's Gospel. And this opening passage, the first three verses of John, why, they're a cracker. In the very first verse, we hear this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the use of word in that verse is actually referring to Jesus and not the Bible. Now, that's a little weird, isn't it? And so here's how we're going to unpack the three verses. Firstly, we're going to see that the Word is Jesus. Then we're going to see that Jesus is God. And then we're going to come back to this, why is Jesus called the Word? But it's more than just a why. It's like a, man, this is awesome that Jesus is called the Word. That's where we're headed. Jesus is the Word. The Word is Jesus. Jesus is God. And finally, why is Jesus called the Word? Okay, so firstly, the Word is Jesus. Have a look at verse 1 with me. Let's read it. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the Word in verse 1 here is Jesus. How do we know that? Well, skip down to verse 14 with me. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. That is how we know that the Word in verse 1 is Jesus. The Word in verse 1 is referring to Jesus, that there was a time when Jesus was not flesh, when Jesus was not a man, was not human. When Jesus was born, before he was born, sorry, Jesus was just God. But then there was that moment. Jesus is conceived. Jesus also became man. The Word is Jesus. And so it's legitimate to read verse 1 like this. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus receives many names throughout the Bible. Prince of Peace, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, Jesus is the Lamb, Jesus is Wonderful, Jesus is Counselor, Jesus is Emmanuel, Jesus is the Son of Man, the Son of God. But here in John chapter 1, verse 1, the name that is given to Jesus is the Word. Now, in our third and final point, we're going to look at why. But for right now, our first point is simply this. The Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Now, which brings us to our second point. Jesus is God. This is one of those doctrines that separates Christianity from other faiths and other cults. Three of the largest faiths, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, we all believe that there is only one God. We have a monotheistic theology, if you like. In the Old Testament, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." To this day, Jews grab that, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Deuteronomy chapter 11 and Numbers 15, and have put together a prayer, the Shema, that they say every single day to remind themselves that there is only one God. Muslims practice something very similar. And so the Jews and the Muslims, they look in on us Christians, hearing us say that Jesus is God and call us heretics. The same thing goes for cults like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, who all deny that Jesus is God. But us Christians, we believe that Jesus is God while also believing that there is only one God. And John chapter 1, verse 1 is one of the clearest verses in the Bible as to why we believe that. Read it again. In the beginning was the Word, who we know is Jesus, and the Word was with God, Jesus was with God, and the Word was God, Jesus was God. Now, in that verse, John is deliberately taking us back to the beginning, back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 1 of John tells us that Jesus was there. So in the beginning, God created. John chapter 1, in the beginning, Jesus was there. But John chapter 1 is saying something more than Jesus was there. John chapter 1 is also saying that Jesus was God. John chapter 1, verse 1 is crystal clear. It gives us a picture of the beginning of everything, of all creation. Before there was a universe, before there were planets and stars, before there was land, sky, and sea, before there were plants, animals, and humans, before there were atoms and angels, there was God. And God was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. Actually, come with me. Come with me back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. We're going to have a look at, read together verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Did you hear it? God referred to himself in the plural. You see, before there was anything, there was God. One God. One God who referred to himself as us and our. God was and is and always will be one God who exists as three persons. Now, this is what Christians call the Trinity. Now, you'll not find the word Trinity in the Bible, but you will find the Trinity throughout the Bible. That is, the Bible clearly teaches there is one God. The Bible also clearly teaches that the Father is God, that the Son is God, and that the Holy Spirit is God. That is why Christians believe, why we know, why we worship the one God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, bringing all of that back to John chapter 1, from verse 1 we learn that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know that that Word is Jesus. Jesus is God. Now, verse 2 goes on to expand on the fact that Jesus is God. Verse 2 reads, "He, that is Jesus, was in the beginning with God." So before anything existed, there was Jesus, who is God. I don't know how we get our heads around this, other than for me just to sort of almost simply say and simply stress it. In the beginning, there was nothing. Like, we're talking about the beginning. So in the beginning, there was nothing. Nothing. There was nothing except God. And so with that picture, as difficult as it is to imagine nothing except God, we then read verse 3 of John chapter 1. "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Jesus made everything. If you design and manufacture a source of renewable, clean energy, you're going to become a quadzillionaire. Now, you will be able to determine what your invention is used for. You are the inventor, you're the manufacturer, you're the CEO, you're the boss. And you being you, I have no doubt, you would use that for good. You would make sure that all nations are able to get their hands on cheap, renewable, clean energy, not reserve it for the rich getting rich and the poor continue to get pillaged. Now, wouldn't that be great? Brothers and sisters, when there was nothing except God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God created everything. God is the inventor, the manufacturer, the CEO, the boss. And we're told in verses 2 and 3 that Jesus explicitly is the creator. And so Jesus explicitly is the boss. Furthermore, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, we're told that the entire universe is held together by Jesus. If we were to pull Jesus out, everything would collapse. Therefore, on the foundation of the doctrine of creation alone, Jesus is boss. On the foundation of the doctrine of creation alone, Jesus has authority to say these sort of things. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus has the authority to say, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Jesus alone has authority to say, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus has authority to say, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. On the foundation of the doctrine of creation alone, Jesus has the authority to make such demands on your life, on my life. But brothers and sisters, we know there is more to Jesus than creation. We know that there is also the cross. The same hands that hung stars in space are the same hands that hung on a cross. The one who is worthy of all our worship is the one who gladly laid his life down for us. Okay, quick summary. The Word is Jesus. Jesus is God. All things were made through Jesus. Without Jesus, nothing has been made that was made. Jesus is boss. Now, John's gospel didn't open with, in the beginning was the boss. No, instead, John's gospel opens with, in the beginning was the Word. And so here's where we shift to our third and final point, why the Word? When I sent those flowers to Nicole realized I was interested in her. But here's the thing about human relationships. Part of the reason I sent the flowers to Nicole is because I needed Nicole. Now, some of you will want to nuance that. You'll want to drop the word needed and you'd rather put in the word wanted or desired. But here's why I use the word need. Going back to Genesis, do you remember how God made us in his image? And as we read a bit further in Genesis, we read that God made humanity as the pinnacle of his creation. We're in his image, we're the pinnacle. And we actually read that when it came to humanity, God made Adam before he made Eve. And that interim between Adam and Eve, God actually said, it is not good that Adam is alone. And so he created Eve. You and I engage in relationships because we need companionship. Now, that does not mean Nicole completes me. It just means that it's not good for Steve to be alone. It is not good for you to be alone. We need relationships. Not necessarily marriage. Christians do not believe that marriage is the pinnacle of all relationships. Now, sometimes we behave like it is, but that's wrong. And so my sincere apologies to single folk around church for the way that we sometimes make it sound that married people are more mature, are more godly than single people. That is not true. It's not biblical. It's not true. I'm sorry. Here's what is true for all of us, single, married. We need relationships. That is the way we're designed. We have been made in the image of God. Now, here's the thing about God, though. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons, existing in eternal, loving, perfect relationship. Listen in. What I'm about to say is very important. God did not create because he was lonely. God is not needy. God is complete. He's perfect. He's whole. He's sufficient. God is love. God is love. God isn't simply loving. God is love. And out of the overflow of his love, God created. Out of overflow, not out of need. God does not need us. God has everything he needs in himself. Now, the story of the Bible, it goes like this. Instead of listening to our Maker, we think we know how to live this life, so we simply live in his world, we take from him, but we ignore him. But God is love, and God is relentless. God kept telling the world, he is love, he loves us. But we keep sinning and rebelling. Now, that's a pretty decent summary of the Bible, isn't it? I mean, God keeps saying, I made you, I love you, listen to me. Finally, Jesus comes, and what does Jesus say? I am the Son. I am God. We made you. We love you. Believe in me. Doesn't that sound exactly like what God has been saying through the whole Old Testament? Jesus is the Word. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Lord willing, we're working through Hebrews later in the year. But have a listen to the first two verses from Hebrews chapter 1. Read along. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. In the Old Testament, God kept on saying, I made you. I love you. Listen to me. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, who he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word who is God. Jesus is God's final Word. Jesus is the Son of God who became human. And Jesus came to tell us something crucial. The God who is love is the God who made us. God loves us. Do you hesitate to believe that God loves you? What would it take to convince you that God loves you? Jesus is the Word. Jesus is God's final Word. Jesus not only speaks God's Word, Jesus embodies God's Word. God is love, who even after all of our collective rebellion, gladly went to the cross so that we could have life. Come with me now to the end of John's Gospel. I want to show you why I am so excited that we are beginning this year in John's Gospel. John chapter 20, verse 30. John 20, verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. John's wrapping up his book saying, look, there's a ton of more things I could have told you about Jesus and what he did, but these are the ones that I've written, and here's why I wrote them. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Hearing our newly crowned Australian of the Year, Dylan Alcott, speak is inspiring. Alcott embraces his disability. Now, many others, a life in a wheelchair would be a life sentence. But for Alcott, it is his life. It brings life. It's inspiring listening to Alcott speak about his life. John told us why he wrote his gospel. It's at the end. It would have maybe been nice at the beginning, but he told us why. So that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, he's the King, the Son of God, and that by believing, we might have life. And so as we digest John's gospel this term, the purpose is that we might have life. Now, I take it it's Dylan Alcott sort of life, not, I guess God loves me. Yeah, he probably tolerates me. Do you hesitate to believe God loves you? Well, there's a remedy. Read, digest God's Bible. Not as a textbook. Not so that you can pass some exam, but as God's Word. Every page of this is written by the one who wants to say over and over again, I made you. I love you. Listen to me. Every page tells the same story. You know, when we first read John chapter 1, verse 1, it just does sound a little bit weird. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But once we comprehend what it actually means, that from forever, God is love, and this forever loving God has actually made us, and he loves us, and that is why he sent his Son. When we know that, well, that's when we want to start reading our Bibles more and more and more. We want to read every page of the Word from our God. One of my personal 2022 projects is to get reacquainted with the Puritans, the Christians from the 16th and 17th century. John Bunyan was one of them. He wrote The Pilgrim's Progress. In my research, I've been reminded that J.I. Packer actually recommends reading Pilgrim's Progress once a year. Now, Bunyan wrote it, and this is what Charles Spurgeon had to say about Bunyan. If you cut him, Bunyan would bleed Bible. Not nerdy Bible, but life-giving, heart-thumping, Jesus-living Bible. Oh, to bleed the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. I cannot think of any better use of your time than my time, than daily time spent in the Word, so that when anyone asks, do you know that God loves you? Our immediate answer is, oh yes, oh yes. He just told me again this morning. Why should we want to bleed Bible? Why should we want to pore over every single sentence in the Bible? Because this is the Word. This is the Word of God, the God who made us, who loves us. God loves you. Let's pray. Oh, Father, your Son, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us so that we could know you. We thank you. We praise you. Would we daily feast on your Word, not as a textbook? We want to taste and see that you are good. And so, Holy Spirit, come every day. Come as we pour over God's Word. Feed us, fill us, grow us, Father, more in love with you. Thank you for your love. In the name of Jesus, amen.